Let's continue from where we stopped last time, or let's just take some of the scriptures we used last time to begin our discussion on walking in the Spirit. The best one, of course, is the one from the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Let's just read it again from verse 16. And when we read this, I will refer to some of the ones we read before, and then we'll do a bit of review, then make our points for today. It says, but I say, from verse 16, but I say, walk in the Spirit, or walk by the Spirit. I'm using the New American Standard here. It says, walk by the Spirit. The word by and in, depending on the Bible you are using, they mean the same thing. And you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit sets its desire against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. He said, if your work is directed by that Spirit, you will discover that the law is not necessary for you. He said, now, verse 19, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is... Now, please. Verse 19 says, now the deeds... Everybody, please, say deeds. The emphasis there being the letter S. Of the flesh are, so deeds are, plural. They now mention many things. He said, but the fruit, did he say fruits?
No.
S is conspicuously missing. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That is, all of them is one thing. They come together. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, he says, there is no law. And I said, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. He said, if we live by the Spirit, that is, if our lives are a result of that crucifixion of the flesh, which occurred by the Spirit, then let us also walk by that Spirit. That is, let us live out the fact that we have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires. Let us live it out by walking in the Spirit. So let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Now, please, this is the main text for what we have been discussing. And I want us to read something else. Let me just add this to it. Just a few verses down, chapter 6. All right? Just go down to chapter 6. Now, I'll come to this one later again, but I want to bring out a principle here. Also just understand it. Let me start from verse 6. It says, one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. This is how life is. If a man sows, this he will also reap. Now, there's a principle here, all right? For the one who sows to his own flesh, will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Now, please, you can look up now for a moment. This is the main thing that we began to study last time, and we called it walking in the Spirit. All right? Okay, let's read one more scripture, all right? It's a Bible study now, isn't it?
Yes.
We're supposed to study the Bible. So let us all look into the Bible, amen? Shouldn't be tired of reading. Quickly open to the book of Psalm. Now, what I want to read now, okay, is the one I want to talk about today. I just want to read it so I can, once I look up, because sometimes when I look up like that, I may not look down for the next 1 hour. So I just want to read all the ones I need to read, the ones that are very important. Psalm 32. It's one we know well. I just need about 2 or 3 verses there. Then I can now begin to see what I want to say. All right, Psalm 32, verse 1 says, "How blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit." Now, David now said a number of things, but I don't want those two verses. The one I want most importantly is verse 2, Psalm 32. Verse 2 says, "How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit." Please notice the word deceit, the spirit there, and deceit. Now, you can now look up. Now, let's start talking. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, last week we began to speak about this walk in the spirit matter. And what I try to bring out, which is the main thing about all of this, is the issue of the grace of God and how it works in our lives. That, listen, God has demands that are more stringent for the Christian, all right, than those people under the Old Testament had. Please, don't ever, in fact, you look at the laws of Moses, people think they are difficult. The laws of the believer is difficult, much more difficult than the laws of Moses. Jesus made it clear, "You have heard that that's under the law of Moses. You shall love your friends and hate your enemies. But I tell you," that is, you have not begun to serve God if the only people you are loving are your friends and you are not loving your enemies. Jesus will say things like, "You have heard an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I'm telling you, if they slap you on the right cheek, therefore popping out one eye," you should, do you understand what I'm going to say? "You will turn the other cheek and let them slap the other one also." Now, those things are not easy. And Jesus told them simply, if your righteousness does not surpass that of the Pharisees, you are not going to enter into the kingdom of God. So we're talking about laws. The law of Christianity on a natural plane is actually tougher than the law of the old covenant. There are things that are not laws, all right, like that, which we are commanded. Let me give an example. They say, "Take no thought for tomorrow." There's nothing like that in the Old Testament, that don't worry about tomorrow. Under the new covenant, in Christianity, if you worry about tomorrow, you are a sinner. If you say, "I'm putting this money aside so that when my children want to go to school, they will have money," you are in walking iniquity. It's funny, all right? Some people are shocked to hear it. So you mean I'm a sinner? Yes, oh, not be me. It's Jesus that said it. If you are taking sin as that of, all right, obedience to divine order, any Christian saving up money for tomorrow is walking in sin, because Jesus said it clearly. "Take no thought for tomorrow. What you shall eat, what we shall drink, and where with us shall you be clothed." Christian laws, they are tough laws. They are very, very tough laws. You know, I was reading this book, Larry Bucket's Business by the Book, which I've recommended again and again, which I wish to recommend again. And the man would say things that, with all the love of God I thought I had in my heart, I was still disagreeing with him there. Not because it doesn't look right, but doesn't feel good to the body. I read Mover of Men and Mountains by R.G. Letourneau, in which a man did what was obviously wrong and iniquitous. And what was it? He and R.G. Letourneau, members of the same church, they entered into one business. Business was not doing well. Joint venture, all right? Partnership. And he claimed that he told Letourneau that the business was not doing well because he had his family members working for him. But he said he used to use family members a lot because they were the only ones that would stand with him when things were tough. So he didn't have to pay them regularly. But everybody else he had to pay. But these ones will understand. They will be able to wait till when business will improve. That man said, "That's why the business is not doing well." So he removed his family members and sent them to another job he had somewhere. At the end of the day, this first business just managed to break even. They didn't make much money. But the other one, they made a lot of money. And this same man came back to him and said, "The reason why this business did not do well, and the other one made money, was that he removed their staff from here and took it somewhere else." The man said, "What are we talking about here? You told me this one was not doing well because my cousin, my sister's husband, were working for us. And I removed them." The guy said, "Listen, what we are going to do, that we will share the business, the profit from the other one." So I looked at him and said, you can't be serious. He said, well, if you don't share the money with me, I'm going to sue. So he told him simply, sue, I'll meet you in court. Except that when he turned, the Holy Spirit said, give him the money. He said, no, you can't be serious about this. Get thee behind me, Satan. No, are you getting my point? Listen, when I was reading it, I was feeling bad. I felt this is not right. That righteousness demands that what this man is doing is wrong. And actually, in court, it will be proven that the man is wrong. You are getting the point I'm letting you make? Now, this is Christianity. But the Holy Spirit says, give him the money. Ha, listen, look, listen. Forget the fact that we're in church. Let's tell ourselves some things. Is it good? Only God can command that kind of thing. It's not good now. But the Holy Spirit said, give him the money. How he knew it was the Holy Spirit, I don't know. But he was certain it was the Holy Spirit. So when I met him, I said, no problem. This is how much I made. How much do you want of it? The guy told him, and he caught the money and gave him. I'm not bringing that an issue. Christian laws, they are not easy laws. I was reading, I think it was Larry Bucket also, in which one man tried to defraud another one, both of them Christians. That one dragged this one before the judge. He manipulated papers. He did not realize that Mr. A, all right? Let's say Mr. A and Mr. B. Mr. B manipulated papers. He did not realize that Mr. A had copies. So by the time they got before the judge, and the judge saw the original papers as the other man kept them, he turned around. He asked Mr. A, please, do you want to press charges of fraud against this man? Let me send him to prison. That one said, no, your lordship, that would be necessary. I just want to clear this case, clear my name. And so they finished the case. He turned to Mr. B and said, you are lucky that this man does not want to press charges. That you are a thief and a criminal and you call yourself his friend. He said that the judge was itching to send that guy to prison. Except that Mr. A said, it is unnecessary. That we are in court alone is bad enough for Christians. That is, he was not allowed to defend himself. You're talking about the law of Christianity. I read the seven laws of seven keys to spiritual power by A.W. Tozer. One of the laws was that you must never defend yourself. Once they spread a lot of bad news, bad gist about, what's the name of our Chinese brother? Ni To Sheng, yes, Watchman Ni. You know, the Chinese one is Ni To Sheng, all right? The English form is Watchman Ni. And everybody was saying, talk now. He said, there is no need. That if we speak and they don't trust us, they won't believe anyway. And for those who trust us, no explanation is necessary. That is, for him, a law of spiritual power was you will be led as a sheep to the slaughter and you will not open your mouth. It's not easy. The laws of Christianity are not simple. Many of the times we get up and raise up, no, we're not agree. Nobody's trampling down my power as my rights. I want anybody to trample down my rights. You're fighting your own cause. You're right, I know. You have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yes, you are right. I therefore will stand behind and watch you fight. When you are tired, let me know. That is, by sometimes standing up for your right, you are disobeying God. That's Christianity. So if you are talking about laws, the Jews knew nothing about laws. They only knew about external laws. God had laws for your spirit. God had laws for your attitude. God had laws for your disposition. God says, don't worry about tomorrow. That is, if you worry, it's a sin. Under the Jewish law, the worry was not a sin. If your neighbor annoyed you and you are sure that you're on the right, you slap him, behead him, and give everybody the reason why you did it. It's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You're talking about laws? Listen, it's easier to be a Jew than to be a Christian. Talking about laws, it's much easier. I always used to say, please, understand what I'm going to say. If you want to see where hypocrites like to hide, people really don't believe in God, go to a church where they have many rules. Rules are easy to keep. Rules are very easy to keep. That is where those who want to deceive people go to hide. Tell me, if you are not in church by 5 a.m., you are not a good Christian. It's not 5 a.m., no problem. I set alarm for 4:30. 5 o'clock, I'm there. Pastor, this is what you need. to let me know, to let you know that I'm a good Christian. I will be there. When you don't have laws like that, it's when those whose spirits are really renewed will by themselves do what is right. Please, I'm bringing an issue here. If you're talking about laws, Christianity has much more stringent laws than Judaism. If I tell you some of the laws of Christianity, you'll be shocked. You are not allowed to criticize the government. It's a law of Christianity. You're not allowed. You know, it's a great come every day. I don't know. Jonathan is crazy. I mean, everybody's mad in this country. I don't know. You know, you talk. You are a sinner. And you think you are right. But let me not sit on that alone. Where am I going? If we're talking about law, it's tough. But listen, go down to the book of John chapter 1. Let's quickly read that. Very important. We understand that. The book of John chapter 1. I'll read from verse 14. Of course, you know what precedes that. In the beginning was the word and all of that. Sorry, from chapter 1, from verse 1. In verse 14, it now says, "And that word that was from the beginning became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Let me just continue without breaking that trend, because there are some parenthetical statements here and there. So the continuation without break is verse 16. "For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." The law was given through Moses. In Christianity, what we have is not laws. What we have is what? Grace and the truth. And these ones were realized through Jesus Christ. What is the meaning of grace and truth as opposed to the law? The law was thou shalt not, thou shalt, thou shalt not, thou shalt. In Christianity, truth is the foundation upon which those laws were based. That is, why should I, thou shalt not? Because I love my neighbor, so I shouldn't steal from him. Are you getting my point? I should not bear witness, a false witness, because I love my neighbor. That's very important. All right? Now, that's the fundamental truth, the foundation upon which all the laws were based. So that you find out that the reason why God gave those laws was to allow the Jews, the way they were, to be able to reflect a bit of divinity in this life. That is, I give this example, that they came to Jesus and said, "Can we divorce our wives?" And Jesus said, "In the beginning it was not so." How was it in the beginning? He said, "A man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife." That is, what he meant was, I said, be super glued to his wife. That is, you can't, even if you wanted to, you couldn't separate. That's what he was saying. He now said, "But Moses said," "Moses said that to you," that's where I'm going, "because of the hardness of your heart." That is, it was not the will of God, but that was the much that God could tolerate. Or let me be like this, that was the much you could obey. So God scaled down the law because of the wickedness of your society. Have you seen that in America? Well, I keep on talking about America. It's not just America. But let me just say, in a lot of, especially in America, in Christianity, divorce is standard. It's not a big deal. Pastor divorces on Friday, expects to be in his church on Sunday like nothing happened. Now, I'm not here to discuss, are there not situations? Forget all those situations. They are not the rule. But by the time you have Christians having the same divorce rate as the rest of the world, there's a problem. Do you agree with me? There is a problem. But so what people now did was start preaching doctrines to water down the truth. And they were not the first. God was the first to do it with Moses. He said, "If I give this law to the people of Israel, they won't even, that is, they will become sinners totally. Let's modify the law a bit." That is, the truth, when it was going to manifest in their lives, had been watered down to what they could understand. So when they met the truth, which was Jesus Christ, he gave it to them. They wanted to quote Moses. Say, wait, Moses is an inferior expression of the truth. Now I'm going somewhere. That's why I found that the Christianity seems to have more laws. If we wanted to look at laws, Christianity actually has more. Because Moses, to get Moses out, what he did was to take the truth and then scale it down, and distill about 300 and something ordinances and laws and, you know, commandments, and just that about all. But in Christianity, the law is continuous. You can't count it. There are over a million if you wanted to count it. That's what truth is. Truth is the foundation. But grace, now this is where all our message is. That's what I'm getting to. I started by saying that Christianity has a lot of laws. Much, much more tougher laws than Judaism. But it's not just the laws. It is the grace to fulfill them that marks out Christianity. I hope you're getting what I say. For example, R.J. Lotono, when the Holy Spirit said to him simply, give him that money, he felt bad. This man has injured me. Look at what this man is trying to do to me again. But something in him agreed. Something in him did what no Jew could ever have done. A man you have to command to give to his neighbor. You have heard what I'm not explaining? They couldn't do it, but this is interesting about it. God doesn't just give Christians laws. No. He gives you truth and then changes your nature in such a manner that obedience to truth is not an effort. And that is what is called grace. Grace is when obedience to truth is not an effort, really. It is when God's power is what is working in you to bring forth obedience. That's what grace is. So no matter how tough Christian laws are, they are easy, actually, for us to keep. They are easy for us to keep, not because the laws themselves, comparatively, are easier than Mosaic laws, but because the woman commanded to keep it, was given the power to keep. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? That he was empowered. Please, you must understand that Christianity is empowerment to do righteousness. You know, we look at Christianity as something God can make me prosper. Yes, he can, but those are the small things. Prospering people is old story. What did I call it? Old story. God has been doing it for a very long time. Listen. If you want to balance it age for age, there's no Christian right now as rich as Solomon. That's age for age. That is generation for generation. David was very wealthy. Abraham was rich. Job was very, very, very rich. If you're talking about money, those guys had money. So there's nothing new about making people rich. Christianity, the empowerment to do righteousness naturally. I don't know whether I get my point. To do righteousness without having to pray about doing righteousness. To just wake up in the morning and just be loving God and forgiving your neighbor and not be worried about tomorrow. I was somewhere yesterday, somebody was telling me some things. Have you gone to buy this one here? Have you done this kind of thing? I said, listen, madam. I said, normally these kind of things, I easily lose interest. I said, when it comes, I just shut down my ears. He said, you know, you have to do them. One day children will grow, they have to go to school. Once you start like that, I shut down totally. Find me a better reason to do things than the fear of tomorrow. One day I was talking with my wife, talking about money matters and all of that. I said, imagine a man that has billions of naira, has houses all over Enugu, Abuja, Lagos, all right, everywhere, abroad, has a lot of money in the bank. I said, project it to 20 years' time. Who do you think is surer of where he will stay, him or me? And my wife knew everything I had and did not have. You get what I'm saying? I said, who is surer of where he will be living tomorrow in 20 years' time? That fellow or me? I said, don't even think about it. It's me. Yes, I am surer. That guy may be confused. He may be deceived. You get my point? So yeah, this is my house. This one that is the center of GR in Enugu. That's the one I shall move into in 15 years' time. That's what he thinks. What did I say? It's called deception. He's deceived. How do I know the house I'll stay in 20 years' time? It's built in heaven. It's kept in heaven. And that's not a joke. People think Christianity is that you are deceived. No, 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 no. It's not. It is not a joke. They literally have built it, designed it. If you see the way I do shakara about houses, you know that I have that kind of thing in mind. I've allowed opportunities that other people will jump at to pass. I said, no, my house built in heaven doesn't look like this. So that one, they have not yet downloaded it. You know, now on this earth, they have what they call 3D printing. And anything human beings can conceive, God can double do. Now listen, I'm not talking about anything human beings can do. Anything they can conceive, if they can think about it, God was doing it long ago. So you see, if human beings can, for those who don't know what they call 3D printing, I hope you know what they call it. Anyway, let me just tell those who don't know. You know when you want to print things, you put paper and it prints. Imagine that you can print a pair of shoes and you wear it and not the picture. As they call 3D printing. A few months ago, I read that they actually printed a gun and fired it, and the gun fired. I don't want to give you the details of how it's done, but yeah, they do the design, and then the machine starts laying the thing layer by layer. So you can sit down. Actually, I read about it almost over 15 years ago when it was still being considered. They could print boats. They print a boat. Now, if human beings can conceive that, I realize, therefore, that long ago, when God wants to download whatever it is I need on this earth, we just put a few buttons in heaven, click, click, enter. Then on this earth, human beings will start printing divine design. I don't know whether you get my point. They start running up and down according to the commandment of God. They won't even know. The angels will be there directing them on what they are going to do. What am I going to say? I realize, therefore, that listen, I have a surer assurance. Are you getting my point? Than the man whose wealth is laid up on this earth. Because the one on this earth, thieves can break in and steal. Moth can destroy. Are you getting my point? A governor can come one day and with a stroke of a pen, revoke the certificate of occupancy in light of overriding public interest. And that's the end of that house. As the lawyers, you know what I'm talking about. The governor just says overriding public interest. That's it. He revokes the CFO. You'll be begging him for compensation. But you understand what I'm saying? If it's God has commanded, the governor will have overriding heavenly interest and create something for me. I hope you are getting my point. Now listen, that's what Christianity is. Wipes out therefore from my brain the worry for tomorrow. So your children have to go to school. I'm aware of that. You won't lay up money. If it's time to go to school and I don't have any money, education will become free for their sake. Grace and truth. These days, I see a lot of teachings in Christianity, and I'm unhappy because we don't magnify grace and truth. We don't magnify Jesus enough. We magnify, this is what you do, 17 steps to accomplish effectively in your life. How to wake up early. How to be disciplined. 5 habits of highly effective people. And you go and check those who succeed in the Bible. Some of them don't even have one of those habits. There are those who say, look, if you want your ministry to do very well, you dress very well. Listen, you know why I dress well? You're just like me. It doesn't help. Listen. Let's tell ourselves the truth. You know, there are things you enjoy. Like some of you like moi moi. Some like opa. There's no... You understand my point? Uh-huh. There's no... Is it spiritual? In the same manner, some like to dress nicely. They look neat. Some don't. This, my dressing, does not in any way draw crowd or make the word more effective. Because I read the scriptures. The most effective preacher of the whole of the Testament of the Jesus Christ came was John the Baptist. His church was not in town. I hope you know. There are those who think that your church can't grow unless in the center of the city. John the Baptist's church was not in town. He didn't used to do follow-up. John the Baptist had a rule. When you are coming, come, what are you looking for? Oh, come and see them, brood of vipers. He will insult you thoroughly. And you're a big man. And what was he wearing? Goat skin. And people were, are you getting my point? They were thronging to go. That's something I like about Bishop Oyedepo. He used to say those days. Like, look, he doesn't buy land for church where it's central. He buys where there's plenty of space. And as a rule, plenty of space usually outside the city. And anywhere Bishop Oyedepo plants a church, the whole city faces that direction. Don't let people tell me, say, your church has to be centrally located. That one is MBA. That one is not ministry. That's business administration. In which they tell you, location, location, location. That's MBA. That's MBA. I'm talking about Christianity. That's why I'm unhappy when people don't magnify Christ enough. Listen, I dare to say this. I'm not kidding about it. God is my witness. If you scan around, 90% of what we preach today, what we call gospel, is not Christianity. We don't magnify grace. We don't. We don't magnify it enough. We still think that it's what we can do ourselves. That's a law that came by Moses. We don't magnify Christ enough. No, we don't. Listen. Oh, let me get back to... Anyway, I just wanted to put some things together. I'll get back to what we were talking about last night. So I'm going to review briefly. But what I want to say in all of this is that grace. Grace is what you need. God can make life outwardly looking very difficult, but it gives the empowerment to do it so easily that it's easier for you to fulfill 1 million laws of Christianity than it is for a Jew to fulfill just 300 laws of Judaism. Why? Because God doesn't only command for Christians. He pours grace into our lives. And we're talking about walking in the Spirit. And listen, what does that mean? It's a way by which we tap into grace that God has poured into our lives. You know, what I thought last time, I would like to review it again. And in fact, something just came to my mind now, and I want to emphasize on it. I may not even get to what I really wanted to say today before. In every area of life, be it business, a career, all right, marriage, whatever area of life, you understand, that you want to identify, God has given you a book to read. And accept that if you want to succeed and be established on your throne, you have to read that book all the time. I'll talk about that in details. Why did I bring that up? Many of us, businessmen, Christians, we are reading books that are not our own. And we are wondering why we are not succeeding. Let me tell you something about God. He said, my glory I will share with no other. You know what that means? God is throwing down a challenge. You have to make up your mind how you want to learn to succeed doing business. Either you are going to follow new things I will reveal to you, or that which is established by which Dangote made money. Choose one. I hope you are following honestly. Listen, it's important. God said, my glory I won't share with any other. There are many of us having issues, and what God is trying to say is that you are trying to play safe. I don't know whether you are following my point. Let's do half the general way that makes sense to everybody. And then we do half with prayer. What we do a lot of times is that we take worldly principles, worldly ideas, worldly plans, the 6 steps by which CNN became CNN. We'll write those plans, write the business plans, then bring it to God in prayer. And God said, that's not my idea. I didn't start that. That's Ted Turner's idea. I am not going to bless it. First year, you run business like that. It worked for Ted Turner, except that you are Christian. Your name is not Ted Turner. You are a child of God, and God has a plan for you that Ted Turner does not understand. Let me tell you a sign that you are confused as a Christian, as a businessman. I'm going to say this one straight to shock a lot of people. You know, there are things I say, I lose disciples. And you know, it doesn't worry me anymore because I realize that Jesus too said some things and he lost disciples. He lost so many disciples, it remained only John, Peter, Andrew, Philip, you know, a few people. He was not even sure he had not lost them. Until Peter spoke up, he turned to Peter and said, are you going to? That is, you know what it means? Everybody left. You know, by the time I asked my wife, are you going to? What does that tell you? Everybody here has gone. Yinka has gone. Israel has gone. Jonathan disappeared long ago. Everybody has left. Even my children, they not stay long in school. They don't come home on time anymore. So when I get home, I don't see my wife. I call her, baby, are you going to? You know everybody has left me. That's what happened to Jesus Christ, all right? So let me get back to my doctrine. Let me say to you boldly, this is the cause of your problem, businessman, Christian. Go and value it time-wise. If you spent more time reading business books than reading spiritual books, that's why you have not been doing well. I mean it literally. Listen, hey, I feel prophetic. I feel anointed. It is resting on me heavily. Listen. You know, now you buy Forbes magazine. They list the richest men in the world. Richest man in Africa, they list Dangote. God says, what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not yet entered into the heart of the publishers of Forbes, I want to do it in the lives of my people. But I refuse to use any method that has been used by other people. As long as Wall Street analysts dictate their financial principles, as long as Wall Street historians dictate their attitude towards the market, I will never be able to do what I want to do through them. Therefore, they are currently confounded and confused. Because God said, this is what I want. I wish you were totally cold. Then you will make money like Dangote. Or you will be hot. Then you come into my glory. Let me show you what I want to do. He said, but this is your lukewarmness. That's why I have refused to walk with you. That is, I will pour more blessing on an unbeliever who's in Wall Street than I will pour on you. That's what it means, that I will spit you out of my mouth. I just have to make up your mind. That you cannot take Wall Street method, bring it to me and say, anoint it. I will not anoint it. That you think the world has done everything there is to do. No, there are technologies they have not yet discovered. And I'm saying for that reason, it can't be in their books. And when we're talking about technology, we don't just mean physical technology. There are economic technologies they have not yet discovered. There are financial technologies they don't know anything about. There are political technologies they don't understand. I told you that when they were shouting, you saw what's going on in Egypt. I feel like a prophet. When Mubarak left, I said they are rejoicing. I said rejoicing over what? If you remember, I said it here. I said what are they rejoicing over? I said, do they know what is coming after? If you love Egypt, pray against violence. Whether you love them or not, pray for the people of God that are there. Because I perceive a movement of that spirit that was in Iraq, shifting down to come and judge the very foundations of that religion. Listen, God is saying simply, there are political technologies nobody has ever understood. For that reason, it's not in the books that they have written. You want to know about it? Pick a Bible. You want to know about it? Look, there is a way the Word of God works. I've talked about it again and again, how the Word works. It is not only when you are studying politics that inspiration for politics enters your head. You can be studying the second coming of Christ. And you understand how to rule a nation. Hear ye the word of the Lord. If you want your life to break through in a different dimension, the type that men didn't know before now, you have to stop listening to those men and start listening to something different. Listen to me. You have to start reading another kind of book. I heard the story of George Washington Carver. It was an inspiration when I heard it. I therefore researched about it, read about him. One thing was clear. That man's life was anointed by God. In the days when slavery was at its peak, when discrimination was not discussed because it was normal. I don't know whether you understand my point. You cannot be talking about are they black or white because you expect a black man can be president. But that time it was not an issue. You're a black man, you're a back man. Are you getting my point? You're at the back. At that time, he addressed Congress. Did you hear what I said? He addressed American Congress at that time. Why? Because he had insight which nobody had. Now, it's standard, you hear of shifting cultivation. From what I heard, there was nothing like that before George Washington Carver. These men didn't know about it. It was the one that explained to them, the reason why cotton crop fails is because you over-cultivate the land with the same kind of crop. Interrupt it by putting groundnuts. Later on, men found that the man knew what he was saying. They learned about nitrogen fixation. But when the man first described it, nobody knew. The story one brother told, the way I heard it, was that the man prayed and said, God, I want to understand the mysteries of the universe. And God said, you can't.